In Alaska, these are the times of homemade celebrations. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. There's something about midsummer in Alaska that makes people want to get together and celebrate. Okay, some of it is aimed at tourists, but most of these celebrations are put together by dedicated volunteers just because. Because why? What's planned in your community? The number 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk at alaskapublic.org. Midsummer celebrations in Alaska are the subject on Talk of Alaska, statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by ConocoPhillips. The easy oil is gone, and getting to the remaining oil will be a challenge that will require the state and the industry to work together. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. First National Bank Alaska, offering business solutions to help Alaska's dreams grow for 90 years. On the web at fnbalaska.com, an equal housing lender, member FDIC. And by Alaska Business Monthly Magazine, publishing statewide news on Alaska's business sector, government, and industry since 1985. Information and subscriptions online at akbizmag.com. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
I knew there was something crazy about midsummer in Alaska when my first year here, I went out to Point Wernzhof on the 4th of July, and it got down around 11 o'clock or so at night, and people started setting off fireworks in a broad daylight. And I thought, they're so desperate. They're going to set off fireworks even though it doesn't get dark at this time of year. And indeed, they will again this year. And that's just kind of, I guess, an expression of this exuberant spirit that pops out of Alaskans at this time of year. And that's what I want to talk about, because it seems to me these 4th of July celebrations and these midsummer festivals of various sorts are an expression of folk art. They're really special up here in Alaska. People get deep into it. People work really hard on them. And we want to know what is happening for this holiday weekend for your midsummer festival in your community, because every community tends to have one. And so it's your show to call us at 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call from Anchorage at 550-8422. Although we know that Anchorage will have fireworks out at the ball field after the ball games, which you could probably get away with not going to the ball games and still see the fireworks without paying the admission. And to get us started, I've invited a set of witty guests who I know can be enthusiastic about their midsummer celebrations and get the conversation going. But it's really you that are going to have to carry the ball as to what's going on in your community for the 4th of July. I mean, we all know about Seward, right? Seward's got Mount Marathon and a number of other things. We know about Skagway. In Skagway, they're going to be having a spike driving. But what's going on in your community? I think I'm going to start with John Hunt, who is working on a music festival in Haines. John used to be involved with the local public radio station there, as I recall. Right, John?
Yeah, and good morning, Steve. Thanks.
Good morning, John. I was attracted to your music festival because I've never seen such bizarre names of bands to be playing. So tell me about this thing. This is not the first year for this music festival either, right?
Right. This is the third annual, and it's held in the parade grounds of historic Fort Seward. So it's surrounded by all the old officers' quarters in the barracks building and Alaska Indian Arts, where they do the totem pole carving, and there's artisans all around. Haines has been an artist community for decades, and not just visual arts. There's a lot of great musicians who have either moved here or grew up here, and we've got six bands that are featured for this 4th of July on Thursday, and it's all local bands. All six of the bands are what I like to call Haniacs, people from Haines.
Well, so can you give me some ideas? Is this like your basic bluegrass, maybe a little blues, a little rock and roll?
Well, we've got soul, country and western. There's a folk rock band. There's a swing band. There's a funk band. Of course, rock and roll. It's all American roots kinds of music.
Okay, well, who's playing, John?
Well, there's a band called the Irish Lords, which is a fairly new band. They've been playing around town for, I think, just over a year, year and a half.
Okay, and that's they're named after a fish, I think.
Yeah, you should see their posters. I like them.
That's not a pretty fish.
Not pictures of the band members. It's pictures of Irish Lords, which is not a real handsome fish.
No.
No.
Do go on.
There's Julia Scott and the PBRs, which is the Perpetual Beer Run. Julia's a great singer, and they do a lot of soul and Motown and rock and roll, and both from way back in the 60s and 70s to stuff from this century.
So that's the kind of band you might find playing down at your old VFW hall.
Yeah, possibly.
Uh-huh, okay.
The Heidi Hoes is a band that's been together for, 6 or 8 years, I think, and they play kind of folk rock. One of those bands that's fairly nebulous in personnel. I've played with them at times, and I know they've got a trumpet player sitting in with them this year, and so I think it's one of the biggest bands. There's about seven or eight, maybe even nine people in that band.
The Heidi Hoes.
The Heidi Hoes.
Okay.
The Fish Pickers is a great band. They are country and western. They also play all over Germany and Bavaria, especially as Buffalo Bill's Beer Hunters.
You're kidding. They're an international band?
Yeah.
I guess it don't take much to be an international band in Haines because you're actually almost part of Canada.
Yeah. I think they want us back.
Eh?
Lunch Meat and the Pimentos.
Oh, what?
Lunch Meat and the Pimentos, which is a band that started in 1989 here in Haines, and they've been playing around Haines, Skagway, Whitehorse, Haines Junction, Juneau, the folk festivals for 24 years almost, and playing this Thursday again. Lunch Meat and the Pimentos.
Oh, man. I just missed them all these years, and I've missed them.
Well, there's flights available and ferries available to get here. Steve, come on up. Come on over.
Thanks, John Hunt. Stay with us.
And then there is one more band. It's called Divine Funk, and I think that is fairly explanatory. It's a great new funk band, been together for about a year as well.
All right. Sounds like a lively time. So what time do they all get started?
Start at 4 in the afternoon this Thursday, and we go until 11 o'clock when those fireworks that you talked about will be starting.
In the broad daylight.
Yeah.
All right, John. John Hunt, you stay on the phone, would you? But we will be making room for other callers as they come in. But I want to get in touch with the Northern Susitna Institute, which is located where the rivers come together up there in the Susitna Valley. Joe Page and Arthur Mannix, welcome to Talk of Alaska by Skype. How you doing?
Good morning,
hey, Steve.
Hey, it's great. The Skype is sounding pretty good there, you guys. And I understand that you have something called the Birch Festival that will be coming up not this 4th of July, but later on in the month.
That's correct. This is Joe, and we've scheduled the Birch Festival for July 19, 2021. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 2 weeks from this weekend. And we've got a three-day multimedia event that brings together what we're describing the who's who of Alaska birch. And we've got a whole collection of hands-on workshops, seminars, lectures, exhibits. And we've got an evening, Saturday evening, we're going to even have a presentation of a live performance of birch art, some theater, drama, poetry, things of that nature. And we think we've got a pretty great weekend lined up.
Well, I understand that there is a special birch beer that's been prepared for the occasion.
That's right.
I'm surprised you left that out.
We knew that would attract you, Steve.
It does.
We have the Kahiltna Birch Works up here that taps trees every spring, along with a new brewery, Denali Brewing, and they've collaborated on a special brew, and it will be served on the weekend at both at our reception and at the Art of the Birch performance on Saturday evening, along with some other birch beverages. You know, that are there's some non-alcoholic birch beverages coming along as well.
Yeah, actually, the birch soda. This is Arthur. The birch soda was from trees sap tapped with Karen, my wife Karen, at the elementary school with the elementary school kids, and they tap the birch and they render it down by about 80%, and then they get it over to the brewery and they carbonate it and make it into a soda. So we're gonna have a high octane and soda pop birch at the festival as well.
We have a picture that was provided by you guys of a birch boat.
Well, it's actually sitting right here in front of us as inspiration. A friend of ours, Doug Smith, took a piece of birch from the One Tree project that started in 2010, and he has created this beautiful model that includes, it's a scale replica of a sailboat, complete with sails that were made out of birch pulp that he used sawdust and boiled it in a pressure cooker and then made these beautiful sails. And a picture of it is on our website if people want to take a look. And this product, along with lots of other products that were created out of that One Tree Birch and that was initiated in 2010, are going to be on display the entire weekend. And there's been some quite spectacular products come out of that.
Just get a little bit about the festival here. You guys, about the Institute, Northern Susitna Institute, as I understand it, is somewhat of an educational outfit that looks to be specific to the environment and to make learning fun and involving the entire community.
That's correct, Steve. Our tagline is real learning in the real world. And we work with people of all ages. We just finished a camp for middle school kids, a week-long camp, but we also target adults. And we really think that intergenerational learning is a really important way to carry on the whole idea of education. We know for a fact that as an adult, I learn a lot of things from kids, and kids can learn things from adults, and we learn things from each other. And I think that was the model that helped us inspire us to create this organization.
And so I see that you've got the notable Ned Rozelle, who probably has a lot of fans in our listenership, and probably some that are missing him because he's no longer writing his column he did for years. But you guys have snagged him to do a writing workshop, I see.
We're really excited about having Ned Rozelle. All these presenters who are coming down, we're really honored to have these folks. The theme is birch, and one of the reasons that this is supposed to be kind of a community exclamation of the appreciation of something that is really overlooked, yet it's really a significant part of our lives. Much of our society, we consider birch to be so commonplace that they lack distinction, and they're often treated like weeds. But, our economies up here hinge on the health of our boreal forests. And so this festival, basically our fisheries and our forestries are our only primary producers in the economy of the Upper Susitna Valley. All of our other industries, the tourist industry, the service industry, the railroad and government and schools, while they're vital to our economic diversity, they are all secondary producers because they depend completely on imported goods and imported energy to sustain themselves. And the Birch Festival is kind of a small way of acknowledging the vital role, which I like to call the silent majority of our native plant community, plays in sustaining us all as well as our secondary economies.
Arthur, that is so eloquent. I want to get you down to the subject of measuring birch, but first, let's try a few calls here. And John Hunt, don't go away there in Haines. I don't want to lose you, and you're welcome to interject whenever you'd like, because this is going to be made by whoever calls the show here. But let's go to Jim, who joins us from Homer. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Jim.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
So tell me, what's happening in Homer for the 4th of July?
Well, it's I'm calling about actually another festival that we put on in, at the Kenai Peninsula Fairgrounds in Inilchik called Salmon Stock.
All right, yeah. That is, what, is this year three of it, or is it?
That's year three, yes.
And SciCon has got himself involved in this?
SciCon is involved in it. SciCon is a former organization called Musicians to Protect Bristol Bay, and he's got almost 100 musicians all over the country, including Pete Seeger, who's involved in his organization. And it's an effort with the Renewable Resources Foundation, who I work with to put this festival together, is the sponsoring organization, and we're trying to protect the Bristol Bay and its watershed.
Yeah.
And well, so we have 12 or 14, I think 14 national acts coming from all over the country, from places as far as, you know, North Carolina and Colorado and Michigan and all over the place.
Well, yeah, this is kind of this has become a very well known music festival in Alaska in its short life.
It has, and it's this year we've got some talent. In fact, it was interesting. I was putting up some posters up and down the peninsula the other day, and we have a band called Trampled by Turtles, which is a very well renowned and very well respected bluegrass band, kind of a really upbeat bluegrass band. And there was a cowboy. In fact, just a little sidebar here. I'm also on the Kenai Peninsula board, and we're putting on a rodeo this weekend at the 4th and the 4th of July weekend.
Yeehaw! Thank you for that.
There's a big rodeo going on at the Kenai Peninsula Fairgrounds this weekend, so if anybody wants to come down for that. But anyway, so I was in the Inilchik putting up posters, and someone of the local cowboys said, "Boy, I bet that Trampled by Turtles band doesn't sound much like Merle Haggard, do they?" And I said, "Actually, you'd be surprised. They have a banjo and a fiddle, and they play bluegrass." And he just almost fell over. I said, "Yeah, the Trampled by Turtles does not sound like a name of a bluegrass band, but they very much are."
And yeah, you know, nowadays
the Soul Rebels, which are a mainstay out of New Orleans.
What's that? The Soul Rebels?
The Soul Rebels. They're one of the main bands. They're a 9-piece horn and percussion band out of New Orleans that play mainstays at the Jazz Fest down there every year, and we're really excited to have them up. And then, of course, our big headliner is Brandi Carlile, who we promise, if you don't know who Brandi Carlile is by the end of the weekend, you will be a fan of Brandi Carlile's.
Jim, that's great. Give me the dates again.
It's August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It's always the first weekend in August. We try to plan it right after this king salmon season is over.
Wow.
So all the fishermen can come from all over the different places out in the Bristol Bay area.
Yeah, now that I think about it, that's around the anniversary of Woodstock, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is about that. So it's not quite, Yeah, not quite the exact day. I think it was a little later. We also have Ray Troll. I don't know if everybody's familiar with Ray Troll and Mavis Muller. And I got a memo who do a lot of our artwork. We have a lot of on-site artwork. We have lots of workshops. We have tons of crafts and arts and microbreweries and great food vendors. It's a really spectacular weekend. Anybody who comes, we try to make it very memorable for people. So it's one of those things you don't ever forget. You want to come back.
Do you have room for everybody?
Well, over the last 2 years, we doubled in size from year one to year two. If we double in size this year, we won't have room for everybody. So
Whoa.
I suspect we'll reach some kind of a breaking off point where we can't continue to double each year. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Jim, thanks so much for calling us and letting us know details on Salmon Stock, because it's more than I knew before.
Okay, well, thanks for having me.
All right, Jim, thanks. Jim calling from Homer and talking about Salmon Stock, but also threw in that they got a rodeo going on this weekend. And let's go to Haynes and Jessica. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Jessica. We got John Hunt on the line, too.
Hi, John.
Jessica.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Jessica? What's up?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to call and put it on the calendar that the Southeast Alaska State Fair is coming up the end of July. So if folks are motivating to go to Salmon Stock, maybe they can hit the fair the weekend before. It starts the 25th of July and goes to the 28th.
All right. And what can we expect at the Haynes State Fair?
The Southeast Alaska State Fair is 4 days. We have a full roster of main stage entertainment. We have 25 local and regional acts and a handful of great musicians and performers from beyond. We're going to feature a band out of Toronto this year called Jaffa Road. They do a great mix of Middle Eastern traditional music, kind of infused with dub and electronica. They're really exciting. We've got everything from bluegrass to Japanese drumming to great Midwestern kind of blues, junk box style music. So it's going to be great. And then, of course, all the fun fair stuff like a logging show, fishermen's rodeo, food vendors, shopping. It's kind of fun for the whole family and goes late into the night, and it's just a great middle of the summer event for us.
All righty. John, any comment you want to throw in on that?
Yeah, that fisherman's rodeo is something to see.
Tell me about it.
Jessica, you want to explain some of that?
Sure, yeah. So we have a fisherman's rodeo. It's hosted by it's been hosted by a watershed council in the past. We get fishermen's groups involved, and you have to see how fast you can put a survival suit on. You have to bait hooks or mend nets. There's eight different categories, and people are out there in the middle of the fairgrounds doing things as fast as they can that normally would be seen on boats. So it's a pretty fun spectator sport, and lots of hilarity and a little intensity, too, because you know, some of these activities are about life and safety and your livelihood. So it's a kind of a fun twist on some of those normal fair contests that you'd see in other places. It's a Southeast Alaska twist.
Yeah, you know, it don't hurt to pick up a few seconds on your survival suit skill.
Exactly. Even if it's dry land practice, right?
Indeed. Jessica, yeah. Thank you so much for your for calling in from Haines with those details about the state fair coming up.
Yeah, thanks for having the show, and this is a great topic. Appreciate it.
All right, yeah, everybody goes a little crazy in the middle of summer in Alaska. 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call from Anchorage at 550-8422. Email us talk@alaskapublic.org. What is your midsummer festival? What's going on in your community? In Fairbanks, there's tons of them. They do have a little bit of a 4th of July, but they have another festival that comes called Golden Days. It comes later in the month, right around the same time as the Birch Festival is going on in Talkeetna, that we've been talking to Joe Page and Arthur Mannix, who have been on the show before, and I'm glad to have them back, of the Northern Susitna Institute, and they're with us by Skype from Talkeetna. Arthur, I promised to get back to you because I wanted to know about your project that you were trying to have at the school to measure birch, to birch as an energy source, to actually get some parameters for management.
Yeah. Well, this birch festival was to have coincided with the completion of a renewable energy project at our local high school, Susitna Valley High School. A couple of years ago, the Mat-Su Borough applied for and received $830,000 in grant funds from the Alaska Energy Authority and the U.S. Forest Service to design and install the wood-fired heating system at our school. And it wasn't to replace the school's existing oil heating system. It's to be a redundant system to work in tandem with the school's existing oil-fired heating system. And it would in no way impede or inhibit the operation of that system. But this project was first, this renewable energy project was focused on the designation of a land base to sustainably supply the school's fuel wood needs. And for the past couple of years, it's gone through an incredibly lengthy public acceptance and input process. We now have the Borough Planning Commission officially designated over 3,000 acres of land for a Sioux Valley High School Forest Education and Improvement Study Area. The Borough Assembly unanimously approved this project. The school board unanimously approved the project. All three local communities unanimously endorsed the project. And UAF has entered into a vocational education affiliation, the UAF College of Forest Sciences. And this summer, actually, they're going out with the Upper Susitna, with the Youth Conservation Corps kids, who are kind of based here out of with the Soil and Water Conservation District, who actually have an office here at NSI. They're going out, they got some grant funding to go out and begin setting up permanent sample plots out in the school forest to measure, monitor, and then hopefully, if this project does go through, then to be able to manage the school forest for its productive and biodiversity qualities. The kids will be out planting trees and working with UAF to manage the school forest that would be supplying the fuel wood to the school.
I see, but something misfired, right?
Something misfired.
Oh, yeah. Well, very unfortunately, this project has been accepted, went through all the political hoops and hurdles. It went through all the social acceptance levels. It's proven to be economically viable, environmentally sound. But there are some individuals who kind of circumvented the process, it seems, and within the school district, some middle managers, if you will, and they don't seem to like the project, and so they actually went to the Alaska Energy Authority and convinced the Alaska Energy Authority to rescind the award. And so right now, and they claim that there were some engineering difficulties. So Northern Sisseton Institute recently funded an engineering study that disproved some of their claims. And so what we are hoping is that the Alaska Energy Authority and the Forest Service, upon reviewing this recent engineering study that NSI had funded, will reconsider re-awarding us this funding to get this project going. And there's a lot of ironies here.
Yeah, I see that. But what is this about? I mean, it seems like a worthy project in the sense that you want to take pretty detailed ecological measurements with an eye towards managing a biomass resource that can be found all over Alaska. And that would seem to be hard to argue against. But then again, on the other hand, I'm thinking, well, what is this about logging? I mean, why would anybody object to this, I guess? But just your guess.
Yeah, I think that this project, it's really interesting because a few years ago, we had some timber moratoriums going on around here because there were some harvesting practices that were all for the export market with little value added.
We're all familiar with the chip incident. Basically, there's state land and the state decided that, and borough land, and all of a sudden a lot of forest people kind of thought was common property got logged and turned into chips. So they would have something they would be able to ship off of that dock over there at Point McKenzie, right? Basically.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened? Yeah, I think that's what happened. Maybe I'm simplifying it.
Well, what's interesting is this project has turned a lot of that around because the beauty of this project is we have an appropriately scaled land mass to sustainably supply the school. We're anticipating harvesting approximately 30 acres a year out of 3,000 acres, so about 1% of the forest type. But we're also harvesting it within the framework of a vocational education program so that the public and the students and the school can all be looking at the regrowth and getting in there and doing active management after each harvest. Kids can be going in there and doing carbon budget studies. They can be going in there and spreading the wood ash from the wood boilers out to mimic the fire, natural fire regime. It's terribly exciting. UAF is very excited about being a part of this. And it's been unanimously endorsed by everybody. And there's just a few people who think that this project is basically a pain in the butt and have been trying to throw wrenches in it every step of the way.
We'll let them speak for themselves. But you've been very eloquent in your plea for the merits of the project. So I think you've done your job there, Arthur.
Well, yeah, and so basically back to the Birch Festival, this Birch Festival is all of this is about our community's relationship with our birch forest. And indeed, many of this, a number of the presenters who are coming down have been supportive and written letters of support for the high school project. But Joe should probably tell you who some of these presenters are, because we've got a really great cast of folks coming down.
Okay, yeah, I'll go to that, Joe, in just a moment, but I want to take a break first and also take a call or two. We're talking about midsummer celebrations in Alaska, concentrating at the moment in the Northern Susitna Institute's Birch Festival in Talkeetna. We've also been talking about the Haines Music Festival and whatever other people call up about. It's been Salmon Stock and the Haines State Fair. And I would think other state fairs might be chiming in any moment at 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, email talk at alaskapublic.org. As Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Doyon Limited, Interior Alaska's regional native corporation, providing oil field services, government contracting, and natural resource development in Alaska and across the nation. Information at doyon.com. As an active senior, your independence is important to you. One of the ways for you to maintain your independence is to reduce your risk of falling. A fall risk assessment can be part of your initial or annual Medicare exam. They'll ask about your vision and review your medications for possible problems. Learn ways to improve balance, strengthen muscles, and reduce hazards at home. Contact your Medicare provider for an appointment. This message in good health is sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
Well, we heard about a rodeo in the Kenai Peninsula, but how about this? Mike chimes in and says, at Alaska Raceway Park off the Glen Highway, mile 10 in Palmer, Alaska Raceway Park drag races on July 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. That's right, drag races. You heard it here. Let's go to Carol joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Carol.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be on your show.
Oh, wow. It's great to have you on.
And you don't even know what I'm going to say.
Not really. You're a caller.
I have a proposition. I've been in Anchorage, actually Alaska, for many, many years, at least 47 years. And I've seen these festivals, and they're wonderful. I enjoy the music and the opportunity to eat new foods. But I've seen prices incrementally increase to the point where now if you go and you attend the beer garden and for a little tiny glass of beer, it's $6. You know, an egg roll is $5. Stuff like that, and I'm thinking, why not do, and it could be everywhere, all over the state, Fleecing Folks Festival. You could have the governor there talking about his ties with the oil companies and how he can increase jobs. You could have Pebble Partnership maybe providing a rap band to talk about how their project will provide jobs.
And the T-shirt vendors for the cruise ship passengers.
Yeah, we're missing. We're
only
missing
$29.95.
Of, you know, ripping off more people. And maybe at these festivals, if you show your ID, you could get a Alaska discount of 10 cents or something, you know?
Oh, you're killing me. You're just killing me, Carol.
Well, hey,
Steve,
you know, people like
this is,
that kind of humor. Yeah. They can come to the Taproot tonight at 9 and see more of the type of stand-up I do concerning these issues.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carol.
All right, have a great day.
She gets the inventiveness prize. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I'd just like to say that we've designed the Birch Festival in Talkeetna to be free, including our workshops and all the events that we have. Since we're nonprofit, we have a suggested donation, but you know, if folks want to come up and participate in the workshops and come see the exhibits and see some of the other things, it doesn't cost a thing. You know, we've got a great lineup. We've got Kurt Jacobson, the oil painter from Anchorage. He's the president of the Alaska. The Artist Guild. He's coming up and doing a workshop. Jan Daw from Fairbanks is coming down to talk about Birch Forest. Tony Crescetto, a local painter here in Talkeetna, is running some workshops.
On plein air, plein air.
Plein air, you bet.
Plein air is important, man.
And we feel like one of our poems is Jim Carrey. He's going to come down and he's going to present on the Alaska, let me get the right title of his project. He's going to be doing a presentation on the linguistic signs of Keh, which is birch in the Dene language. And, you know, Jim is the author of Shimpeats Alaska, which really helps us all understand the Native people's experience here in the Susitna Valley.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that is definitely, that's very educational.
Yeah, we're really honored. Jim is going to be, you know, segueing basically the traditional Dena Athabascan uses of birch, which is a, you know, real vital connection. There used to be really essentially a birch culture in this upper Susitna Valley. And so it's going to be really fascinating to hear his presentation.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that you can make a watertight bucket out of birch bark, but you can't.
Yeah, I have. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, Arthur, I know that you are a log home builder, but I thought that was spruce.
Yes, you know, and because of this project and because of the high school renewable energy project, you know, birch is a nurse tree. It's one of the first, it's a pioneer species. It's one of the first colonizing trees here in Alaska. And so spruce is a shade tolerant species, and it requires, it's really nice to have birch trees growing first. So in a way, birch tree is a protective nurse tree for spruce. You need them both.
All right. All right, you guys, hang in there. And John Hunt, are you still with us down in Haines?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, if you want to say some parting words, we can let you go.
Well, I have been listening to all these things that are happening around the state, and I did want to mention also that there is an entire list of activities that happen in Haines on the 4th of July. There's the Mount Rapinski Run that starts at 7 a.m., and there are all kinds of, oh, there's a pie-eating contest, a nail-and-spike pounding contest. There's a fire hose battle.
You guys are pounding those spikes, too.
Oh, yeah. And we've got a pie-eating contest. We've got a mud volleyball contest. Also, this year, we've got the Antique Car Mushers of Alaska bringing in about 30 cars, I believe, that are going to be both in the parade at 11 a.m. and also at the parade grounds during the music festival. People can look at those old cars. And we've just got some great food. This is partially sponsored, mainly sponsored by the Halsingland Hotel. And I know you and I were talking last week, Steve, about the fact that you stayed at the Halsingland Hotel when you came
through Haines. Grand old place, yes, grand
old. Now, Arnie Olson was a big promoter of tourism from way back in the days of Haines, back in into the 70s, I believe. And Jeff Butcher, who is now the owner of the Halsingland Hotel, he and I were on the tourism advisory board for a number of years and talked about having this festival, and we started it a couple of years ago. And it, for me, it's just a continuation of the spirit of tourism and fun that Arnie Olson helped to instill. And every time we needed a place for a musician to stay that was traveling through the state, Arnie would say, put him up here.
Yeah, boy, if you put plaques for everybody that all the celebrities have slept there and leaving me out, you'd have an awful lot of them. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
All right. That's John Hunt joining us by phone from Haines and calling in from Talkeetna. Lisa, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hey, thanks. Great to be here. I'm calling from the Talkeetna Historical Society Museum. And as a lot of people in Alaska might know, since 2010, we haven't had, you know, our regular moose dropping festival that we actually have usually.
Right.
But we are doing moose dropping themed events for all through the month of July, and we do have some stuff coming up. And so for this weekend, I wanted to tell you guys what it was going to be.
Please.
Okay, on July 4th, which is Thursday, we're having our annual Talkeetna Independence Day Parade at noon, and you can't miss the wailing of the big loud siren on top of the Nagley store, which Dennis Freeman does every year. And so there's the Independence Day Parade at noon, and then, of course, as part of our moose dropping festivities, we have had all of the big plywood moose all around the businesses, and people can pick those up, and they can decorate them however they like. And the big moose and then our mini meese, little bitty mooses, they're going to be auctioned off at 1:30 in the afternoon at the Village Park. That's on Thursday. On Friday, July 5th, we're having Moose Dropping Festival games and music for everybody starting at noon. And also July 5th on Friday is the last day to sign up for the Mountain Mama Contest, which is always fun. And Saturday is the Mountain Mama Contest, and there's games for kids all day.
What is Mountain Mama?
The Mountain Mama Contest is open to anybody, whether they're tourists or whether they're Alaskans. The only prerequisite is that you have to be a mom. So, you know, even if you've got a grown kid, you can still join in, and there's all kinds of activities. It's designed, it's like a fun kind of race thing that you have to do. You're given a backpack with a 10-pound baby doll in it that you have to wear while you're doing the course, and you can't let the baby doll fall out of the backpack. And you have to wear some breakup boots, which they give you. And you have to run through a whole series of things. You have to chop wood. You have to roll a wheelbarrow. You have to make a pie. You have to shoot a ptarmigan, which is like a bow and arrow thing at balloons. You get a chance to practice before you do that. But you have to do just all these wacky things. You have to cast for a salmon and snag a big foam rubber salmon and haul it in. And you've got to do all kinds of stuff.
So it's like the Wilderness Women. It's like the Wilderness Woman, except it's in the summertime.
Exactly. It's very similar to the Wilderness
Woman. And you don't have to feed a sandwich to some lout.
And it's only open to people who are moms.
Very interesting. But you don't have to feed a sandwich to some lout that's sitting there?
No, actually, you don't, but you do have to make the little, there's like at the end, you have to make a whipped cream pie and put a cherry on top, and then you have to take the baby out of the backpack, sit down, and ring a bell.
So ring a bell.
It's not quite as visually cool as, you know, throwing a sandwich at one of the bachelors, which happens, you know, in December.
We want to save some pleasures.
I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that, you know, even though we're not having the really big, huge festival, there are still going to be vendors. There is still going to be activities happening. And there's also going to be activities happening next weekend when we have the big slow pitch softball tournament, which always draws just tons of people. There's a lot of teams from Anchorage come up here.
Oh, yeah. It's very competitive.
Oh, very, very. And it's always the big highlight, and everybody likes it. And so it has been rainy, but we got some blue sky happening now, so hopefully we won't be having the moose drop weather for everybody this weekend. But I would like to encourage everybody to come to the Moose Drop Festival. And if you have any questions, you can, you know, check in here at the museum or check out our website at TalkeetnaHistoricalSociety.org.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Okay. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. No, it's
all
great.
Right. Bye.
What's your event in your community? It's 1-800-478-8255-478-TALK. A local call from Anchorage at 550-8422. Port Alexander says, we have the 29th annual Troll Closure Open. Yeah, the Troll Closure Open in Port Alexander. This is a golf tournament started during the trolling season's closure, but has evolved to a larger event with the dates of August 21st and 22nd this year. The 18-hole golf tournament is played at low tide by all ages for 2 years old in the youth tournament to adults in their 80s. Port Alexander, Boardwalk Community, Baranoff Island, 70 miles south of Sitka. I'm not quite sure, is floatplane, skiff, I think maybe ferry? Not sure, but thanks to Molly in Port Alexander for that one. And let's go down to Cordova and Kathy. Welcome to Talk Alaska, Kathy.
Thank you. Great to be here.
No, it's great to have you on.
Well, great. Well, I'm here to talk about Copper River Wild Salmon Festival, which is a festival that we've had for several years now. It's the 9th annual this year. And there's several parts to it, and it kind of comes together to make a really fun weekend for people of all ages and interests. It starts out on Friday with the Taste of Cordova, which is a Copper River Salmon cook-off. As you might know, Copper River salmon is, you know, one of the most sought-after salmon in Alaska, and Cordova's home to that. So we're celebrating that with our salmon cook-off, and we're also partnering with Alaskan Brewing, and one of the entries will be best use of an Alaskan brew in your recipe. That's always really fun. And then we'll have the Salmon Jam Music Festival that night, Friday night and Saturday night. That is a really cool combination of local musicians, and we bring in opening and headlining bands from Alaska and the greater area. This year, our headlining band is Super Saturated Sugar Strings from Anchorage. And then also on Saturday morning, we'll have the Alaska Salmon Runs, which is a really popular road race, marathon, half marathon, 10K, 5K, and a one-mile fun run. So it's a really fun event, and that Salmon Runs has been going on for about 25 years. So we're really excited, and we want to just encourage folks to come out to Cordova July 26th and 27th to come check it out.
The Copper River Salmon Festival. Wow.
That's right.
Kathy,
Wild Salmon Festival.
You betcha. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. And they can visit copperriverwild.org for more info.
Okay, that's fantastic. What have you got going on this midsummer? 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. And Anchorage is going to try and have a 4th of July parade. I guess this is a similar situation to the Moose Dropping Festival, where it kind of lost some structure for a while, but they pulled up this year, and are going to have quite the exhibition in Anchorage for the 4th of July. Many leave town, however, I've noticed, for that holiday. So tell me more about the Birch Festival in Talkeetna there, Joe and Arthur.
Well, you know, what we've tried to do is to blend the sciences and the humanities, because it seems like too often, you know, you have your scientists really focusing on in their realm and the humanity folks dealing with their realm. And so we've tried to bring together these two and stir it up. You know, we've got, for example, Larry Zarella is going to be teaching a songwriting workshop, and we hope to get some scientists in that workshop. Ned Rozelle, as you mentioned at the start of the show, is doing a writing workshop. Sandra Porter, also another writing workshop. And then we've got, you know, some really fine presentations that we hope these the English majors will go and listen to some of what the science folks have to say, because I think that's some of the ways that we feel like by hearing things and learning things outside of our typical realm, it really helps expand us as human beings and gives us a deeper understanding of what the world's all about. So
the people that go to the writing workshop might also, for instance, go to songwriting.
Exactly. So that's one of the things. And then, you know, one of the big thing that we hope is a culminating activity is the Talkeetna One Tree Project. And I want Arthur to talk a little bit about the background of that, because we think this is an opportunity for all the craftspeople and the artists to come together again and display all the very cool things that have come out of that.
One tree. Okay, before we do that, let's take one last break here as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska. The Alaska Nanook Commission reminds you that harassing polar bears or taking polar bears with cubs is not only illegal, but it is not part of Native traditions. Together with their management partners at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Alaska Nanook Commission has been working on developing a long-term polar bear deterrence plan to protect Alaska's villages from dangerous polar bear encounters. More at the AlaskaNanookCommission.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Nanook Commission, Alaska's people managing Alaska's resources.
One 800 478 8255. What kind of festival is going on in your community in midsummer? And we'll get back to the One Tree Project in Talkeetna in just a moment. But first, let's go to Bell in Cordova. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Bell.
Hey, Steve. Great to talk to you too.
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy the Super Saturated Sugar Strings are coming to Cordova later this month. What a wild band! You
know,
it's Balkan bluegrass.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we're excited because we're having a kids' music camp next week. It's a Cordova 4-H music camp. This is our 19th year. And our Hawaiian camp for 6 to 8-year-olds is full, but there's a waiting list. But for the older kids, the bluegrass camp, which includes everything from bluegrass to rock and roll, starts on Monday morning the 8th. and runs through Friday, and kids have a chance to take three classes and be in a band. And there's evening activities every night, except one. And we have a staff concert on Monday night, and Tuesday night is the squirt gun fight. Many kids have been known to sign up for camp just so they can participate in the squirt gun fight, and a potluck barbecue with salmon for the parents and kids that are involved in the camp. And then Thursday is a score dance at the library parking lot, hopefully, with we can be outside. And Friday night is the final concert. So it's a really incredible thing. And this year is our third year of doing adult camp as well. So while the kids are in classes, adults can be taking classes, and if you're working, you could take your lunch hour or come in the early evening.
That's great. Yeah, you know, I've been a 4-H volunteer a number of times, and I know how much work it is rounding these things up. So
yeah,
it's all worth it when you see the result and you see kids developing, bringing out their talents and developing their leadership.
Yeah, and you can't believe how much of an impact just 1 week of camp makes. And you can sign up on web at www.bluegrasscampsforkids.com. And Kate Hamry, who is the original bass player for Barefoot.
Right.
Is the director of this camp, and as well as quite a few others throughout the state. She does an awesome job. And so, you know, bands like Barefoot have come out of camps like these. And, you know, but kids can just have fun. They don't have to be professionals. Music is just so awesome for people.
Belle, thanks so much for your call from Cordova. Yeah, we did a media camp once for 4-H in Pocahontas County, West Virginia, and those kids did some production that ended up on NPR. What an accomplishment. Belle, thanks for your call from Cordova. And let's zip down to Homer and Cammy. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Cammy.
Hi. Hi there. Yeah, I just wanted to let your listeners know that there's a burlesque show in Homer.
No.
Bait and Tassels, yep, every Friday night in July, starting at 8 o'clock at Alice's Champagne Palace.
Oh, my heavens.
It's
That's
the
beautiful.
Fifth set of shows that Bait and Tassels has done, and this show is called Pandora's Box, and it's a theme show around the retelling of myths of gods, goddesses, and mythological creatures.
Man, I'm telling you, only in Homer.
Yeah, only in Homer. So it's worth the drive. You can come on down. Tickets are $20 if you get them before the show, or $25 at the door.
Cammy, thank you so much. And it's Friday nights?
Friday nights, yeah, 21 and over.
Of course. Gotta be. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
1-800-478-8255. Still got a few minutes left. I want to go back to the Birch Festival and what is it, the One Tree Project?
Okay. Well, the initial seed of the Birch Festival was germinated with the One Tree Project at Talkeetna Elementary School a couple of years ago. We transported with our crane a full-length birch tree, and we pressure washed roots and all. We pushed over the tree, and we pressure washed the roots, so we had in a horizontal position on sawhorses an entire birch tree on the elementary school grounds. We had a forest education specialist with the state, Matt Weaver, come up. The kids had the entire day off from school outside, which they loved. And they got to study tree anatomy, and they collected seeds from the tree, which they subsequently germinated, which we now have seedlings from what we are referring to as the mother tree. Then that very day, we had local sawyers show up at the elementary school with a sawmill. And we cut up the tree into boards and planks, and we harvested the barks and branches and all these boards. And in the past 2 years, people have been making all kinds of wonderful projects from the mother tree, including really fine works of furniture and canoe paddles. The elementary school kids made a bunch of swallow houses and wine racks and bowls. And so a bunch of these works from the One Tree are going to be on display, and people who have crafted items from the One Tree will each be able to get a seedling from the mother tree. So it's really powerful because you see the second generation trees, you know, now that they're a couple of feet high, And but yet there are all these beautiful wood products, including this beautiful boat that Doug Smith made, that were rendered crafts from the mother tree. And so that's kind of the vocational education thing going on at the elementary school that we hope that we can continue on into the high school with all kinds of birch-related projects.
Wow. I just can't, I mean, when I first heard about this, I thought, how can we possibly hang a show on this thing? But you guys have shown me you can hang a show on this thing.
Steve, you're great.
No, but seriously, that this is, I mean, that's just amazing. A whole tree, roots and everything, and then it's just kind of anatomized down and made into things. And people now, there's pieces of this tree that people will be able to take home from the Birch Festival.
Yes, and then they're going to be able to take the seedlings, which are offsprings from that tree, and go and plant them at their homes.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. We're pretty lucky, you know?
It is.
And we have
cool.
such a great community, and you know, this place, this community is kind of just a festival of life in general anyway, you know? Every day is kind of a festival, you know?
Every day. It's a mosquito festival this year, too.
You bet. It was, the mosquitoes had a great time this year.
Where's the mosquito festival?
That's next year. It's the mosquito of summer. It's really a bummer.
Well, I'll tell you. Oh, thank you for that. Some way to end the show here.
No. I love them. I actually love them. I'll have to send you my mosquito poem sometime, Steve.
All right. Well, I'm kind of shocked that I didn't hear from Sitka, where they have a parade, and from Barrow, where they've got Eskimo games, and even Petersburg, where they don't have much of a 4th of July, maybe, but they do have the Norwegian Independence Day that they celebrate in Petersburg. You might know. And then, of course, in Fairbanks on the 4th of July, we're going to have baseball. And then the Golden Day is coming up on the 24th. Those are a few of them that I took note of. And then there was the Wrangell I heard about. In Wrangell, everybody wears red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. Kids decorate their bikes. And there's a tug of war between two tugs and an egg toss. Hey, I want to thank you so much. Thanks to John Hunt and everybody that called. Thanks, Joe Page and Arthur Mannix. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve. Hey.
All right. I look forward to whatever the Northern Susitna Institute comes up with next. I want to thank everybody who participated in the show. I want to thank Josh Edge on the phones, Dave Waldron on the controls, and the whole tech crew for testing out the Skype. The first time I think we've used that. We'll be back again next week. I'm Steve Heimel.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by Providence Imaging Center, with its newest center in Soldotna, offering CT scans, MRI, ultrasound, and digital X-ray to residents on the Kenai Peninsula. Learn more at provimaging.com. How do you get men to wear a life jacket when the fact is that 90% of those who die in boating accidents in Alaska are men? Well, most men won't listen to this message, but they might listen to you. So have them pledge to wear a life jacket every time they get in a boat. Every time. Have them fill out a Pledge to Live card at pledgetolive.org. That's pledgetolive.org. Make them promise so they make it back home. This message sponsored by the Alaska Office of Boating Safety. Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or APRN. Learn more about Talk of Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.